Well, thank you, Miss Margaret. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts for a brief Bible study tonight, and then we'll have another season of prayer before we go to the house. Anybody lose a pair of glasses? I thought they were mine a while ago, but anybody lose a pair of glasses? Anybody need a pair of glasses? It says, "Dear Larry Cox, I love you very much." Signed, Judy Cox. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, Acts chapter 20. And I want to talk about Paul's greatness. The sort of a series of sermons, points of commitment to greatness in the life of the Apostle Paul. And let's begin reading again just to get the context of where we're at. Verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he had hastened, if he were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So he's heading for Jerusalem. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." Let me underscore that for all of us tonight. That I might finish my course with what?
Joy.
That I might finish my course with what?
And
the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsels of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my own necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you in all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Would you read that with me, please? "It is more blessed to receive than to receive." And I got it backwards. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Nothing wrong with receiving, but it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. The commitment of the Apostle Paul. Father, help us tonight to glean the truth that will be a help to us tonight. And Father, may your will be accomplished in our life as we open the Word of God, and how precious it is, and how dear it is, and how wonderful it is. And Lord, to make application from the Holy Scriptures to our own life. Thank you for the man who yielded himself to God. And Lord, we're not here trying to compare ourselves with the Apostle Paul. We want to compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're glad for examples that we have in the Bible of men that were totally committed to the cause of Christ. They gave their very life, and eventually Paul would be executed because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his testimony to finish his course with joy. And then he said to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course, kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And Father, we're glad for the ministry and the life of the Apostle Paul here in the book of Acts, the history of the church and the continuation of the church that needs to continue until the Lord Jesus comes back to take us home to glory. We sure do love you and need you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. There's something about just reading the Word of God that I think has an impact on our lives. Sometime in the Scriptures we find where they read for hours, just read the Word of God. And we need to find time that we read the Word of God. It's good to read it out loud. It's good sometimes to listen to it out loud. Sometimes it's good to read it silently. Sometimes it's good to read it by verse. Sometimes it's good to read it by chapter. Sometimes it's good to read it by books. But however you read the Bible, give attendance to reading. Paul was committed to a great person. You know, we live our lives, they go by very short. And your commitment says volumes about your testimony. I was preaching the other night in West Virginia. I preached the sermon years ago about what we leave behind. And Enoch left behind a testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible says he walked with God, and he left a testimony behind that he pleased God. The Apostle Paul says, I have a desire to finish my course with joy. And I believe when the Apostle Paul come down to die, as is alluded to in the book of 2 Timothy, Timothy, I want you to stay steadfast. I want you to stay in the battle. I want you to fight a good warfare. I have fought a good fight. Now, this battle is going to continue until the day we get to heaven. It's not going to get any easier. And sometimes we're looking for a way out. God wants us to stay in the way. When you stay in the way, which is the Christian way, you're going to have opposition from the outside. And so what kept Paul going was this: I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The Apostle Paul said, I made a deposit that God's going to take care of me. I have believed in him. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Now, you can know a lot about the Bible, and I can know a lot about the Bible, but not know him personally. God wants us to know him personally, and the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him and in the power of his resurrection. He had a desire from the day that I believe he was saved on the road to Damascus to know the one that he had persecuted. Thou art the one, Paul, Saul, thou hast persecuted me, the one you kicked against and one you persecuted. He realized on his conversion day that he had been guilty of putting Christians to death. He had a zeal, but not after God. It was after Judaism. It was after his own religion. And you got to commend him for having a zeal. But his zeal changed when he got right with God. He now is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can tell when you read about the apostles in the history and also in the Bible, they were willing to die for what they believed. They were willing to go to death for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the power of the resurrection, it'd be a fool for a man to get up like the apostles and say that they believed in Jesus, and yet they did not believe he rose from the dead. It was the power of God for their life to stand boldly and preach the gospel, as it was in Ephesus and all the churches that the Apostle Paul was associated with and others in the book of Acts. But he was committed to a person, and I mentioned that already. Number two, he was committed to a purpose. And that purpose was to serve God faithfully. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. The purpose was feed the flock, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So Paul is again telling them again, I want you to be faithful, because the time is going to come when the ravenous wolves will come in and try to devour you. Now, how many of us have quoted the verse of Scripture about the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Now, he's not after the unsaved so much as he is the saved. Now, he cannot cause us to go to hell, but he can divert us from our trip to heaven. And I mean by that, he can get our mind on this world lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth. He can cause us sometimes to think things we ought not to think. But the Apostle Paul was committed to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was committed to the purpose, and I review right quickly, the purpose of the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Your responsibility is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and teaching them whatsoever that I have taught, observing all things that I've taught, and baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The job of evangelizing, we ought never to quit evangelizing. I appreciate Brother Allen here on the front row, second row, of the tracts and the Bibles that he gives out. He said something recently, or maybe tonight, that really struck me in our discussion before church. And he said, I discovered there was something that I could do in the ministry. He said, I went to church and I listened to preaching, and that's good. I went to church and I was faithful to church, but it dawned on me there was something that I could do. And then God touched his life to miraculously be able to play the guitar. He said, it just came to me. Isn't that amazing? Now, he hadn't done that for me. I mean, God hadn't miraculously showed me how to play a guitar. He hadn't miraculously showed me how to sing yet. And I may try, but Brother Allen said, it was just like day and night. It hit me. All of a sudden, I could play the guitar. And then he got to the place of passing out CDs. Or back in the old days of the VCRs, years ago in the VCRs, he would make 10 at a time up here in the sound room and to distribute those to people. And then he moved up. I mentioned this before. He tried to, you know, CDs and DVDs and all that he does now. Now he started buying Bibles, and he's done it in the past, but giving out Bibles. And he just said, there's something I can do. Wow. Now, there's something all of us can do. We get committed to the person. What have I done for Jesus Christ? What am I doing for Jesus Christ? Do I come and do I go through the motions and do I have a ministry for the Lord? You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to pass out tracts like he does or CDs and so forth. But all of us should have a ministry. That is, Lord, use me. Please, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Now, I've been blessed of God over the years to be around people that use their abilities for God. And God miraculously uses them. But he does everybody. Everybody is somebody, and everybody who is a Christian has the Holy Ghost living in them, and the Holy Ghost wants to give to us the ability that we need to do what he wants us to do. I can't do what he does. I'm not asking you to do what Brother Allen does, but what does God want you to do? What does God want me to do? I need to find out what God wants me to do and be committed to the person. And whether you people brag on you or not, whether folks applaud you or not, is not the issue. You just say, I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. I mentioned Danny Lord sitting in the sound room. I remember years ago in the marquee, Danny would do it for the Lord when he used to change the marquee out front. Just do it for the Lord. It was a ministry. And we've got guys in our church who cut the grass and they weed it and et cetera for Jesus. There's folks in this church who can cook for Jesus. Amen for cooks who can cook for Jesus. And I can be a participator in their ministry. Amen. I can name you name after name over the years of folks who just had the ability to know how to cook something that would be good to take to somebody's house or to help feed. And I mentioned this the other day, of the deaths we've had, and I realize it takes a sacrifice, but for those to get the food ready and to be there to serve it and to be able to try to help the family in an hour of grief, that is to be complimentary to those who can do it. I may not be able to do it. You may not be able to do it. But we can find things to do for God. Lord, what do you want me to do? I have one life to live, it'll soon be passed. Now, I know that all of us are different, but Paul was committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know him. I want to live in the power of the resurrection. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. I don't want to hear the message over and over again without him doing something in my life. Now, Paul became that great missionary statesman, probably one of the greatest Christians ever lived. Outside of Jesus Christ, he probably was perhaps the greatest man that's ever lived. I can't say that dogmatically, but that's my opinion. I think he was a great, great man. Was he human? Yes. Did he make some mistakes? Yes. But who in the Bible did not make mistakes? And if anybody here is without making a mistake, May the Lord bless you when you pray for us who make mistakes. How many of you have ever made a mistake? I say this often, and I mean it. It's not in jest. I could write the book on probably how not to do some things. But learning how to do things effectively for God, to be pleasing to the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul was committed to a great person, the great purpose, evangelizing the lost, edifying, giving education to the saved, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you all the way. They need education. They need edification. Edification means to be built up in the most holy faith. The Spirit of God uses us to help edify the body of Christ. Why do you come to church? It may be several reasons, but one of the reasons ought to be I come to church that I can help somebody else on the journey of life and edification of my spirit of what God wants me to do. It may be sing a song. It may teach a lesson. It may be preach a sermon. It may be some other way that you use it out in the privacy of a home, but you're using that which God gives you to help edify, to build up folks. And along with that, I think our responsibility is to encourage one another. As we get down to the end of time, let me say this honestly. Let me say it without apology. Let me say it not sympathetically. Let me say it because I believe graciously it needs to be said. As we come to the end of time, we need each other. We need God, but we need each other. And the reason why the Lord Jesus established the church was not just to have a church. He could have done that without people. He could have done it all himself. But he chose weak, frail people to be the building blocks. He's the cornerstone, to be the building blocks in the church. And he gave the church to help us, yes, to get out and get folks saved, but to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I look back over my years in the ministry, often feel like maybe I haven't done a good job. Maybe I have failed in some areas. That's not trying to be poor mouth or say, you know, looking for pity. You look back and say, have you done a pretty good job? Have you done a job of trying to help the generation coming on? And sometimes you look at the generation, you wonder, well, but we all need encouragement, including this preacher, including you, because the battle is going to get tougher and tougher. There could be more and more folks who will drop out by the wayside. And Paul and I were talking about it today. This is perhaps the post-church age of America, and many believe that. There's more people who say they do not go to church than there used to be who said they went to church regularly. And they say they don't need it. I heard that today. I don't need the church. I don't need preaching. I don't need it. And as that philosophy and that kind of attitude, they push God farther and farther back, and then one day judgment's going to fall and eternity's going to come. God, help us to stay together, encourage each other, and love each other, and thank you for being here tonight. And if you're on live stream tonight, I hope you're being encouraged. I hope you'll be encouraged. I hope you'll encourage others. It could be a phone call. It could be a card. It could be a letter. It could be any way, but encouraging others in the battle. And I want to thank God for those even who listen, who perhaps cannot come regularly, but they are effective in ministering to folks. So anyhow, he said he was committed to a great purpose, and he's serving the Lord faithfully and fervently until his day would come. And it looked like it was going to be in Jerusalem. But let me talk for just a few minutes tonight, and then I'll be through. Paul was committed to a great principle. And that great principle is found in this great text of verse 35. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, I shared this with chapel today with our boys and girls, and I gave out two chocolate candy bars to somebody. And I give it to one guy, and after a while I say, now, you give it to somebody else. Everybody wants chocolate candy bar. So we gave out two chocolate candy bars. But I said, now, that's a blessing for me to give it to you. I spent my own money and bought four chocolate bars of candy, two to pass out and two to eat. So when I go home tonight, I may eat one of them. But I did buy two for other folks. And then I gave them out to one guy, and I said, now, aren't you glad to get that? And they say, yes. Well, don't. I may want you to give it somebody else. Are you willing to give it somebody else? And the question was this, are you willing to give to somebody else, even though you received it and you were blessed by it? Are you giving something to somebody else? It may be you might want to give half to a friend. You might want to give some of it to somebody else, or you might want to share the blessing you had with somebody else. But learning how to learn the lesson of life, it's more blessed. You'll get more joy out of giving than you will receiving. Now, there's nothing wrong with receiving. Amen? I mean, I'm grateful for everything I've ever received in my life. Every good gift cometh down from God. Salvation, I've got to receive it. That's something I receive from God. So I'm not being totally against receiving, because there's things I need to receive. I need to receive the Word of God, the engrafted Word of God. I need to hear the voice of God. I need to receive things regularly. But the joy of getting old is when you're able. Thou art old, I said a while ago, God said to Samuel. The joy of living your life, and even it starts young, if you would, the more you give, the more God blesses you. I'm convinced of that from the day that I began serving the Lord as a young boy, and my daddy began to teach me biblical principles. I believe as you give of, not necessarily money, but that's involved, as God blesses you and you give to others along the line, it may be, when I first started preaching, there'd be elderly ladies who'd give me tithes. Now, back in those days, ties were real wide. Anybody remember those wide ties? You could almost use them for an apron. I mean, they were big. Now, my daddy wore a wide tie, but I wasn't into wide ties. But the dearest saint of God would come and say, Brother James, I just believe God wants you to have these, and my husband's dead, and I want you to have his ties. I took them, and I wore some of them sometimes. They weren't the best ties that I want to wear, because I didn't like the big wide ties. Then they got so real skinny. Anybody remember those days? Ties were just on like that. And I didn't like those either. I like them about in between, big and little. But somebody would give me ties. Somebody would give me suits to wear. And praise the Lord for that in the early days. It was just a blessing. And what I found with older saints of God, how many times have I seen older saints of God, they'll put a piece of money in your hand and say, Preacher, I want to help you in the ministry. And here's your response. Well, no, you don't need to do that. And no, you just keep your money. That's the response you want to give them. But that's the wrong response. And I learned this from my daddy. He said, son, when somebody gives you a piece of money, you take it because God wants you to have it. And then you can do with it what you want to. You can turn around and give it back to her. And she may not even know how she got back to her. But you never refuse a gift from somebody who wants to be a blessing to you. So in life, as you give out, and you'll do that, you give out to people, whether it's money or time or just words of encouragement, as you give out and you help them along life's journey. I believe we get to heaven, there's probably going to be a report day to where a lot of folks are going to say to some of us, and I hope it'd be you, hope it'd be me, not selfishly wise, thanks for being a blessing to me. Thanks for what you did for me. Thanks for this or thanks for that. I think it's important the Christian church reach out and try to touch as many people as they can with words, with time, with assets, or whatever it is. So as you give, and I read about a billionaire today who's an unsaved man, but he was a billionaire. And he said these words. He said, when I learned, even, he didn't profess to be a Christian now. I don't even know if he believed in God. But he said, I learned to give money away. And he says, I've been around millionaires and billionaires all my life, and many of them become stingy old men. And he said, I didn't want to be a stingy old man. And so he gave a lot of things away to organizations. And I'm not saying he got his way to heaven, but he felt like he ought to do something. But the man that made an impact on my story this day in chapel was this. It was Rockefeller, the wealthy Rockefellers who were very wealthy people. I think he was the governor of New York or the mayor of New York one time, or New York City. But at 54 years of age, he was diagnosed with a disease that he's going to die. He was a wealthy, wealthy man. And they put him on a diet of crackers and milk, if I remember the story correctly. And so that's about all he could eat to digest in his body. He looked around and saw all the assets that he had. And he professed to be a Christian. He says, I'm going to just give it away before I die. You don't have long to live, Mr. Rockefeller. So he took and began to give his money to churches and orphanages and charitable organizations, and he gave it away, and he gave it away. And the more he gave away, the more he got. The more he gave away, the more he was blessed in his businesses. And the more he gave away, the wealthier he became. Amazing. And he died at age 92. And he said what changed his life was an attitude of life. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know that as a parent, when you're waiting for your children's eyes to brighten up or their face to light up of something that you got for them. That's precious. You can't take that away. And then we want our kids to come up and be able to be the same way of giving to somebody else. And so my emphasis today was on Mother's Day. And I was hoping all the children would do something special for their mother. They may already do it, and thank God for that. It may be a note, maybe a letter, maybe a card, maybe a just whatever. Some of the most precious prized possessions are kept by mamas. And I may mention this again Sunday. My mother kept every note, every card, every letter that was ever written to her by her kids. When we was cleaning out the house, my soul, I never seen so much stuff that she kept. I mean, every picture, everything that she'd get her hand on that related to her children. Who knew she was keeping all that? And nobody's going to throw it away while mama's living. We might have got rid of it after the fact. Because what are we going to do with all that? We're building our own dreams and memories, I guess. But the fact is, it was encouraging to the mama. Have you ever heard your mama say this? Especially when you're an adult. And you call and say, boy, I'm glad you called. You may be out of the States, you may be out of the country, or you may be somewhere else. And you call mama and say, boy, I've been waiting on your call. Boy, how many times are they neglected because people just don't take the time to do little things, to let them know you care, you're concerned about their life. And as you get older and you become more sentimental and you cherish the grandkids and the kids and all the things that are done and said, and you're not trying to be foolish about it, but you do want to realize that as they give to you, you are to be recipient of that, to enjoy that, and as you give to them, to watch the expression on their face and then teach them the biblical principle, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I believe with all my heart that the Apostle Paul was committed to the principle, and my Bible, and yours probably are too, these words are in red. They said this, verse 35, how he said, the Lord Jesus said, this comes straight from the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed, it is better for, it is more bountiful, it is happier for you to give than it is to receive. And those who are learning that principle, and if you are learning it, and I think we all need to be learning it, you'll find the greatest joy in life is just giving of yourself, giving of your ability to help somebody else. And when the time comes to give somebody some money, you do that because you just want to do it. And God lays it on your heart and you do it. And you see, you don't have to know where it come from. You don't have to tell anybody about it. You just give it away and see what happens. And I've found over these years of trying to be obedient to what my daddy taught me, as the more you give, the more God just blesses you, even financially. Sometimes you have more than you ever have before in your life. Not always the case. Sometimes we may be in poverty because of circumstances around the world. It may be we live in a third world country. But God still takes care of his children in any country. There's people who are in foreign lands who don't have money to give in the offering. So they come in with a chicken. They come in with eggs. The offerings pass. They don't have any money, but they give things or they give animals that could be sold or used or cooked because they want to be a part of helping the cause of Christ. So whatever God wants you to do, say, by the grace of God, I want to do it. He who gives will be blessed more than those that receive. Receive, but also be a giver. Be a giver, be a giver, be a giver. So the title of my message to Teen Chapel was Give, Give, and Give. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you for your kind attention. The Apostle Paul was committed to a great person, as the Lord Jesus Christ. He was committed to a great purpose, and that was to help build the church and feed the flock, over which he was made a recipient of the Word of God to share with others. And he was also committed to a great principle of living and giving of himself. And finally, he's come to the end of his life, and he's telling the visionary elders that I have given, not braggadociously. He's just sharing, this is what God wanted me to do. And God blessed the Apostle Paul. And I think when he entered into heaven, there was a great rejoicing took place in the presence of the angels when the Apostle Paul arrived at home. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth of it. Help us to apply it to our lives tonight before we leave. And Lord, as we have another time of prayer in behalf of upcoming services, we pray, Lord, that you'll forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us, Lord, sometimes when we don't care as we ought to care. Nobody really cares what we know until they know we care. Lord, teach us that. And sometimes we're so selfish, and sometimes we all get into that I syndrome. It's not about me. It's not about you, them. It's about you. And Lord, that you're being honored and glorified. So take us and use us and make us and mold us, develop us into what we ought to be for the cause of Christ. And Lord, help our church to be the kind of church it ought to be. And Lord, may it be ingrained in our young people, and thank God, no doubt many a times it is, that they need to be givers and not just receivers. Help them to learn not to be selfish in life, and may we learn the lesson too. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we falter. Forgive us, Lord, when we get full of pride. Forgive us, Lord, when sometimes we act the wrong way. Lord, just help us. We know we fail and falter, but please forgive us and cleanse us and help us to do better. That when we live our life, we come down the end of it, we can say what a joy it's been to complete and fulfill the ministry in joy, in joy, in joy. And when Jesus was suffering, the writer of Hebrews says he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. So, Father, would you help us tonight to labor and toil and endure the suffering that we may go through in this life for the joy that is around the next bend, over the next hill, or especially when we enter into eternity. It'll be joy unspeakable and full of joy.